We are on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, six lines from the bottom, last little part. If you remember, the Mishnah discussed that activity of plowing where you can do eight averos. One of the averos is you put together, when you plowed, an ox and a donkey, two different species. So now, we're trying to just, in general, just come up with some other possibilities of other transgressions. It has nothing to do with that case specifically. But they're going to give us a novel case in which the prohibition against mixed species can be even within a single species and even within a single animal. Huh? How's that? Amar Rav Hoshaya, Harmavia Shor Pesula Mekdashim, if a person breeds animals that were holy animals to be a korban, but they became disqualified, and then they were redeemed, right? Okay, so it was an animal that was disqualified, supposed to be a korban. Then it got a blemish. Then you redeemed it. So now you're breeding sacrificial bull that was redeemed with any animal. Okay, so, but remember, even after you redeem it, it has a certain degree of sanctity. You take an animal, this bull, I want it to be a korban. Then it gets a blemish. Okay, I got to redeem it. So now I redeem it. So now I own it. But it still has a certain saying, you cannot work it. You cannot shear the wool. You only can just slaughter it and eat it. That's what all you can do with it. So now, if it's a disqualified, so it has certain elements of being holy and mundane. Right? Because it still has that degree of holiness. You can't work it. You can't shear it. You can't do that.
Good for one thing.
So therefore, so what's going to happen now with this this animal over here? So now if you're Marbia, you crossbreed this animal. So Lokashtayim, you're going to get two lashes. Why two lashes? Because first of all, you're breeding it with another animal. Oh, so no, it's even with another a cow. An ox with a cow. Now you figure that's the same breed.
Right.
But it's still going to be a difference. Why? Because the animal is half holy, half not holy, while the other one is mundane completely.
Wow.
So that's like crossbreeding. Also, the crossbreeding, when you're mating it, it's like you're working it. You're making private benefit of that. You can't work the animal or benefit from it besides eating. So now you're crossbreeding it, you're benefiting from the animal. Right. And now you're crossbreeding it because it's a sort of a holy animal with a non-holy animal. So that's why you get lashed twice. So that's the first case, even though it's in the same species.
But do they designate it as still the same species, or is it a working? Which one is it? But
you get lashed for both.
So you, boom, you're a corporate.
Two lashes.
And that's a different species now.
It retains a degree of holiness. Now, let's take it even further. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, how about, remember, you can't work now two different species. What if you're hamanig? What if you're leading, like carry a load, doing some kind of work? Bishor pesula mekdashim, this animal that's been rendered unfit for a korban. So even though it's only one animal, but you're working that one animal, Loki, you're going to get lashed. Why am I going to get lashed? What am I getting lashed for? Sharei guf echad hu? Even though it's one body, but the Torah considered like two bodies. So therefore, that's even considered like working with two animals at the same time, even though it's one animal.
Okay.
But we take the ox's mundane part and the non-mundane part, so that's even with one animal, you're having two separate species working together. And on top of that, you're going to get lashed because it was for the holy aspect of that animal as well. Okay, that ends this topic. Now, as they say, we're pretty much home free. Mm-hmm. Now, finally, we only have two pages left. Mm-hmm. And finally, we're going to have a discussion. The whole track has been about lashes, but we have no idea how you give the lashes.
So we save it for, now we're talking.
We save it for the end.
That's right. We've been talking lashes. We even haven't said how many lashes.
Yeah.
Nothing's been mentioned in this Masech. I'm telling you in advance a lot of stuff. But now we have to come. So let's look at this pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk says, "V'hoya im bin," and if it should be the wicked one, harash bin hakos harasha. If you sentence the wicked one for lashes, vi pilu hashofe, the judge should make him fall. Vi kol afanav, and you smite before him. Kedei rishasu b'misper, according to his wickedness in number. Arboim yakenu, 40, you shall lash him. Lo yosif, you shall not add. So now the Mishnah is going to have a machlokas. Exactly how many lashes do we give him? You figure, what's there to argue? It says 40. Torah says 40, not less. You'd figure there'd be nothing to talk about on that score. But there is. Kama malkina. So how many lashes did he get? Tanakama says, Arboim chosarachas, 40 minus 1. Even though the Torah says 40, it's minus 1. Shinemar, how do we know that? Because it didn't say you just give him 40 lashes. It didn't say that. It said an extra word, two words. It says bimispar arboim. Bimispar arboim. It says in the number of 40. Now I know 40 is a number without you telling me it's a number.
Yeah.
Right?
Why not one?
So now, so when it says 40, the Tana Nakama now interprets the fact that it says bimispar arboim. Okay, we have to understand what's going on over here. So it's bimispar arboim, a number of 40. So now, minayin shu samach arboim. How do you know it's the number next to it, which is 39? So it's like, it means to say a number that's close to 40.
Could be 41.
Oh, so how do you know it's in that direction? Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry. Let's do that again. Not minayin. One second. It's minyan shu samach arboim. It's a number that's close to 40.
Yeah. Otherwise, it gets death.
Okay. So. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain. It's just a Mishnah now, so it doesn't get much explanation. Next page will explain it more. So he says it's a number 40 with a number 40. It means a number that's close to 40. So he'll see how it comes out to 39. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Arboim shlemus. Give him 40 complete. Okay, we'll discuss later what's the basis of the machlokas. Next question, where do you administer the lashes? And then the question is, where does he get the extra one? We're going to see in the next Mishnah, it explains where the lashes get administered. Later on, the next Mishnah is going to say a third of the lashes go on his chest, a third go on one side of the back, a third go on the other side of the back. 13. Okay, it's 39. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to get 40, where do you give the 40th? Where do you give the 40th? The extra one. So he says, banks have a between his shoulders, right? Between the shoulders. Okay, that's a machlokas rules.
It has to go evenly.
Yeah.
13 times 3.
Exactly. We'll see that when we reduce it, we have to reduce it by a multiple of 3. Next point. Oh, that's the next point. Ain omdin also, and when we're going to evaluate him, if he can't absorb the whole 39, elba makas reuyasli hishtalesh, with lashes that can be divided before 3. Before the sinner is flogged, he's evaluated medically to determine how many lashes he can endure. If it is less than the full prescribed amount, the court must deduct from his sentence accordingly. The court must take care not to cause the sinner's death. So even after the evaluation ruled out administrating the maximum amount, the lashes has to be multiple of 3. For example, the offender was judged capable of enduring just 20 lashes. We can't give him 20 because it's not a multiple of 3. Can't give him 21. That's too much. So it goes down to 18. Right? Now, it's interesting. That would be according to the Tanakama. According to Rabbi Yehuda, says you go 40. Perhaps he'd say it doesn't have to be a multiple of 3. It's not clear what he would hold on that point. But according to Tanakama, we hold it's 39. It's a multiple of 3. Okay, now we get an interesting scenario. Let's say they evaluated Lekabel Arboim. He can get 40, meaning the 39. They say he can get the full dose. The doctors evaluate him, healthy specimen. Then what happened? In the middle of the lashes, Veleika meets us in his flog part. Let's say they're midway through it. Next page. And also, you know, they got a doctor there at all times. Because just because you evaluated once, things could change. Then let's say when he's a number 20, va'amdu now, they assessed, shen yochel kabel. He can't take the whole 40. All right? So he's starting to get weak, and they're saying he can't do it. They just figure he can't make it. Or either way. So still, it's interesting. We're going to see this got to go be divisible by 3. Okay? But anyway, so now what happens? Let's say by 20, 21, they say that's it. He can't take any more. Potter, he's exempt from the rest of the lashes. Okay? Because since he received a portion of the assessed lashes and has already suffered the disgrace of being flogged in Beis Din, he's been punished enough. However, if the sinner was sentenced to 40 lashes and 4 being flogged, was reevaluated, and at that time was found incapable of bearing any lashes at all, he's not exempted. Rather, his punishment is postponed until he becomes stronger, for the court is not permitted to vitiate, it's a fancy word, the original assessment. In other words, let's say they evaluate he should get it, and he comes out with a terrible cold. And he's not going to be able to get it. Okay, so that's going to be an interesting scenario. Okay.
They keep him in prison at this time until his entire lashes are done.
There's no prisons in the Jewish court system.
Wow.
There's no prisons. That's all.
He can run away.
Yeah.
When they take him to court, when a Beis Din, the witnesses say, okay, what do you have to say? We told him not to eat chazer. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. They cross-examine, blah, blah, blah. Beis Din rules, you're chayav lashes. Now, give him the lashes, right? Don't delay this stuff. If the guy's a death penalty, now. So he gets the lashes, and if they say not, okay, you know, it's... Where's he going to run to? You have to remember something. A Jew can never run away. What does that mean? A Jew has to live in a Jewish community, no?
Right.
Now imagine. Let's say, never should happen to you, Stan. Let's say you're part of this community, and the Beis Din said you got to get lashes. And then they say, okay, we're going to give you lashes. Oh, you're not feeling well. Okay, come back in 2 days. We'll give it to you. Now you decide to run away. Okay, where are you going to run to, and how are you going to be a Jew? You're going to live with the goyim, right?
Go to another town.
Go to another town.
But they know.
People ask questions. You have to remember, in the olden days, since when did a stranger come to town? What's the story? You have to remember more than this, Dad. Okay, let's just assume, I have no idea, you were of the tribe of Zevulun. Let's just assume, right? Okay, you're the tribe of Zevulun, right? Now that means you had a portion of land, of property, that was the source of your income, was in Zevulun. That means the Beis Din that adjudicated you was in Zevulun. You're going to run away to where? Okay, let's say you run... You're in the southern part of Zevulun. You went to the northern part of Zevulun. What are you going to do? You have no farm. You left your farm. So you're going to go knock on it. Can I work for you? He says, who are you? Well, my name's Stan. Where are you coming from? You're Jewish. Yeah, I'm Jewish. Well, what are you doing here? Oh, I want to. Where's your patriarchal portion? Okay, you understand what's going on over here.
No, we're going to
run. So where are you going to run? I mean, you could theoretically run, but you're going to starve. You want to live with a goyim? You wouldn't want to live with a goyim. You go knock on a Canaanite's door?
And become a slave to the
Canaanite. Yeah, be a slave to the Canaanite. Better get the lashes and finish. You're losing us running away.
Get the lashes and finish it off.
Nowadays, there's an underworld. But even that, it's not so... Well, now you can go to Sanctuary City.
How long will you be there?
So it's not a long-term solution. And what if you got family, wife, and kids? I'm leaving. I ain't getting left. It just doesn't work out. So what do you need? What do you need to have? What do you need to have a jail system?
They don't need a prison.
What could the guy do if he'll run away? That's the worst punishment imaginable. The guy's got no means of supporting himself. He's going to join the Pirates of the Caribbean? I mean, what's he going to do? He's a Yid. Okay, move on. Now, here's a reverse scenario. What if Amdula Kabel Shmoina? They evaluated Shmoina. He can get 18. He's not such a strong. They evaluated 18. Now they start lashing him. Guess what? They're getting up to 15, 16. Now, imagine when you're a lashing guy, he slowly gets weaker. Like, you think a guy for 39, he's just standing like that, and it's just like that for all 39, and then he just walks away? You know, after about the fifth or sixth, he's starting to cave, and he's screaming, and you can see his face color is changing. You know, by the time 39 hits, like, boom, the guy's just on the floor. He's going to recuperate for a few days. Okay, so they figure this guy can only take 18. At 18, the guy's looking fine. Umishaloka, they said, he could really hit 40. I don't know why. He faked us out. He made us look not so healthy. So maybe we should keep lashing him. No, Pator, he's exempt. Because he was in compliance with the original assessment. Now, they can, we'll see later, revise it upwards before he gets flogged. In other words, if they first evaluate 18, and then an hour later they say, hey, you know, he's looking healthier than we thought, we're going to up to that 27. You know, it's interesting. I just was reading somewhere. You know, the Holocaust, especially the women who were in the concentration camps, you know, you had to look healthy to work, or they just kill you anyway. So what they did is they told the girls, they say, pinch your cheeks. And it puts a little bit of a red color into your cheeks. So you'll look a little healthier. So imagine these guys are doing the opposite of pinching their cheeks. They're trying to make themselves look weaker. They're not getting so much. Okay, anyway, that was the Mishnah. Okay, so we had two parts of this Mishnah. We had the Machlokas, how many lashes you get. Tanakama said 39. The other rabbi, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda, said 40. Second thing is, you have to evaluate by a third, divisible by three. And the last thing is that if they evaluated for a higher number and he can't take it, we finish it there. And he doesn't go through it at all. If you evaluated a lower number, we see he could take more. It still goes to the lower number. Okay. Now we go back to the first one. How did the rabbis deduce that it's 39, even though it says a number that's close to 40? Well, what does that mean? So now we're going to go back into that explanation. My time, and what's the reason that the Tanakam interprets the pasuk to say 39 instead of 40? He says like this. Iksiv, if the Torah would have written the following, Arboim b'mispor, 40 in number, didn't write that. So where the word 40 comes before the word number, Arboim b'mispor, then I would have thought, Arboim b'minyana, 40 in number. But that's not what it said. But Hashadachsiv, now that it says b'mispor Arboim, with a number of 40.
It's a separate passage.
No. I don't think so. You want to check, but I don't. Where's that pasuk? You have to go back. Well, maybe. One sec. Oh, maybe you're right. B'mispor. Okay, b'mispor. 40 by count, doesn't say the number.
Oh, so it starts, 40 starts in the next sentence.
Then, I don't know why they don't put the psukim together. Arboim yakenu. 40 you will lash him, lo yosi, they'll increase. Okay, so you see it's in two separate psukim. Right, it says you lash by a number, and then it says 40. Okay, so now let's go back.
Why is that important?
Well, let's go back. Iksiv, if it would have said Arboim 40, and then b'mispar, and then the number, then I'd say, Havamina, that's what it is, Arboim b'minyana, 40, and by the number. V'hasha, see, now it says b'mispar by number, and then it says Arboim. And now it says 40 afterwards. The term means to teach us minyan shuhu sochem es arboim. The number that counts 40, the number that enables 40 to be counted, 39 causes 40 afterwards, right? Interesting. Ritva writes that the full measure of 39 lashes is actually a received oral tradition from Sinai, and this is only an asmacht, an allusion. The rabbis had this, Rishon Yehuda did not. Okay. According to Ritva, the full biblical measure of Malchus is 39. Rambam seems to say, however, that the biblical number is actually 40, but the sages reduced one in order to prevent the court from inadvertently exceeding the prescribed amount. Okay, so anyway, so he's saying it's a number, now that it says Arboim, 40, B'mispar, so now, or rather B'mispar, with a number, Arboim, it's saying it's a number that approximates, that brings us to 40, and that's 39. Rabbi Yehuda did not have that Mesara of that Limud. Okay, so now what do we see? Baruch Hashem, thanks to the rabbis, thanks to our law, we've reduced the person by one lash. So he never can say, what did the rabbis have done? What did rabbis ever do for me? So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says a very famous statement now. Kama tivshoi shar inchi. Look how foolish are other people, meaning the majority of people are not Torah scholars. Look how foolish they are. Dekaimi mekami sefer Torah. They rise in front of a sefer Torah. V'lo kaimi mekami gavarabba, but they don't rise before a great Torah sage. Why is that foolish? Deal of a sefer Torah, because in the Torah it says 40. You look in the scroll, it says 40. Vasrabanan batzrachada. The rabbis came along and took one out. In other words, an unlearned person would get 40. Right? And you know, there's a Gemara that says that the common people, they always complain, what do the rabbis do for us? I just need to look at the Torah. I just need a copy of the book. Now, it's interesting. Rav Palm Zichron of Vacha, he mentioned when he was a bacher, so there was a shul, and that particular shul felt they didn't need, this was probably the early 1900s, there was a shul in New York, they were pretty illiterate in those days, they said, you know, they didn't have a rabbi, so we don't need a rabbi, we need a rabbi to tell you when to say tachna and when not to say tachna, to say hallo. Well, you know, they published the luach, the calendar that tells you what. We got a big luach in there. We just have to read the luach. Right? So, I can't remember this specific case. So what do you need a rabbi for? So, there was one time where the luach had something written with an abbreviation. So, the guy read the abbreviation wrong and interpreted it to say the wrong thing. So, he ended up saying the wrong thing. In other words, the point being, people think, what do you need a rabbi for? Just look at the Torah. Torah tells you what's there. Right. So the Torah tells you everything. So what do you need the rabbis for? Well, if you look in the Torah, a guy would get lashed 40. Comes on the rabbis, and they give you 39. Right? So a lot of times, we spare the sinners the pain, and perhaps sometimes death that could happen with a 40th lash. So what do you tell me? So a Talmud Chacham gives meaning to what the Torah is about. That's one shot, right? Now, in Kiddushin, the question is posed regarding whether one must rise before a Torah scroll. Gemara answers with a Kal V'Chomer argument. Since one rises before the students of Torah, how much more we should rise before the Torah scroll? That's going to be a problem. From there, we see a Torah scroll is more deserving honor than a Torah sage, whereas our Gemara indicates the reverse. You see the contradiction. Here it's saying, if you get up for a Torah scroll, for sure for a rabbi. Over there it says, if you do get up for a rabbi, you should get up for a Torah. Mashar explains that there's really no conflict. The Kedushim passage is correct. The Torah scroll is certainly more venerable. And our Gemara is simply explaining that the disrespect shown by the unlearned for Torah sages actually derives from a foolish misperception that the rabbis don't do anything for us. Gemara does not mean to suggest that sages should indeed be honored more than Torah scrolls. Okay, the other reason that you should get up for a scholar is because a Torah is telling you what to do in theory. It's only a theoretical document. It's never more than a theoretical document. A Talmud Chacham, he embodies the document. So you see what the document really means. So therefore, it's much more important for that. Okay, that's that little piece. Okay, we can maybe get to the next Mishnah already. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yerushalmi. So Rabbi Yehuda says 40, and they said, where's the 40th go? Between the shoulders. Okay, now the question is going to be, what's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion now? What's his source for keeping it at 40? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time, Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason, Rabbi Yehuda? Dichsiv, it says regarding the false prophet who will be asked. Okay, it's a pasuk in Zechariah. Ma hamakos ha'ele bein yodecha, what are these wounds between your arms? And he's going to answer, v'amar asher hu kesi beis mehavai, it was from when I was lashed in the house of those who loved me. What's that mean? The false prophet will answer that the wounds between his shoulders came from a lash inflicted by the Sanhedrin, who punished him not out of malice, but because of their love for him and their desire to set him on the straight path. Since the first 39 lashes are not inflicted between the shoulders, this first perforce refers to the 40th lash, which is administered there. Okay, where it says, what is this lash between your arms, meaning between your shoulders? So, according to rabbis, there isn't one between the shoulders. It's on the shoulder, out, but not between. So what's between the shoulders? Must be there's one between the shoulders. Okay, that's what it means. Yodecha is a reference to the place where the arm is connected to the shoulders. Okay, anyway, the Ritva asks, if we're discussing only one lash, the 40th, according to him, how can proof be brought from a verse that speaks of wounds? He answered, the strap used by Bezin was folded over to form four straps, we'll see later, thus inflicting multiple wounds with one blow. It was a four-folded strap. Okay, interesting. So that's his proof. But the rabbis obviously didn't agree with that. For Rabbanan say, no, that really only got 39. So how do they explain the thing about that extra thing? He says, that verse is regarding school children, meaning the rabbis understand the verse is alluding to the blows given young children for misbehaving, not for lashes in the court. It has nothing to do with court-imposed lashes. And other people see impressions from the blows and note that they will appear between the shoulders, a non-life-threatening place to be struck. And they will be told that the blows were given by others who loved him to discipline him, and therefore they were administered only in a safe place. So it's not talking about biblical lashes. It's not that kind of lashes. So when the Rebbe punishes the kid. Again, not to be done nowadays. Okay, to make that clear, we do not lash the kids. Although, if you lash them, they're going to behave. There's what to be said. The guys from South Africa, they gave the paddle in those days. And you just behaved. I mean, there's what to be said about it, but there's what to be said not about it. Okay, fine. Now the Mishnah continued, Ein Omdim Ela B'Makasuris. We only evaluate to assess him how much he can take. Then the Mishnah concludes, if he was flogged for part of it, and again, the Mishnah then concludes that if he was flogged part of his first assessment before it was revised downward, or if he was flogged the entire amount before it was revised upward, he's exempt from further lashes. Okay, so it seems we keep saying, while they were lashing him, then things changed. So the implication is, Lokain, only if he's already been flogged, and then we see he can't take more, in, that's when we stop. But what if we evaluated, but before we gave him the lashes, but lo, Loka, what if he's not yet been flagged, and now they want to revise it up, lo, he's not exempt. Okay? So, we'll see what happens, but you'll see it in the next Mishnah, but it seems if they first assess him for a mile, and then they see he should go down, we don't lash him. We'll wait till he gets better. Right? Veraminu, that would be appearing from our Mishnah. However, it seems to be contradicted by the following Braisa. The following Braisa says, Amdula Kablaraboim, they evaluated him to get 40. Vechazaram, and then they reevaluated him. Shen Yochel Kabla, he can't get 40. Potter, he's exempt, even though he's received no lashes at all.
Right?
Amdula, what if they evaluated him, Lakabla Shmanas, to get 18? Then he can get 40. Potter, he's exempt from any additional lashes. That's unlike our Mishnah. That doesn't differentiate between he had received a portion of the lashes or not. Right? The Mishnah implies that when no lashes were received, the original assessment of 40 was revised downward, the offender must wait until he's able to endure the 40. Bryson had exempts him completely from the 40. Right? Because there's an element of disgrace inherent in the very act of assessment. Further, Mishnah implies that when no lash was received, the original assessment of 18 was revised upward, the offender subject to the new assessment. The price holds him to the original assessment. So what's going on? Summer of Sheshes, Lo Kasha, that's not a question. Ha, the Amdul Yomi. Our Mishnah speaking where they reassessed him on the very day of the original assessment. So since it's unlikely his condition changed so much on the same day, we assume the first assessment was completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
How can it be different on the first day? And the Braisa that says we change it, is where they reassess him on the next day or at a later day. Ah, so therefore it's possible for one's health to deteriorate or improve from one day to the next. The first assessment is considered valid. Hence, if the court initially determined the offender could endure 40 lashes until the day of punishment, and when the day arrived, they assess he could not withstand them, the offender is fully exempt. For the first assessment stands, and yet the offender cannot receive the 40 lashes it prescribed. You hear what's going on? He said, even though he's supposed to get 40, but since he's not getting it, they don't bother to give it him. Even though he's not flogged, he's disgraced by having been assessed in the court for Malkus. When the court initially determined that the offender could endure only 18 lashes until the day of punishment, and on that day they come up 40, he still gets the 18 because the assessment was valid. As we always assume that the assessment was valid, the first one was valid, and that is the one we keep. If it's on the same day, we assume that it's not valid. Okay, we got another 4 minutes. Let's go to the next Mishnah. We're flying now. Okay, now, how about this? Over Avera Sheesh Bashnei Lavim. He did one Avera that constitutes two prohibitions, right? Like we've said in many examples. Let's say plowing with a donkey, with an ox, and you also kill Ayim. So one action, two things. So what do you get? So Over Avera Sheesh Bashnei. So you're supposed to get 2 times 39. So what if Amdu, they evaluated Omer Echad, one evaluation for both transgressions. Okay, they said, okay, we're going to give you both, and that's what you should get. Okay, so it could be it's not 78 or whatever. So Loika Potter, he's flogged according to the double assessment, and he's exempt from any additional lashes. In other words, 39, 39, he's supposed to get 78. No, he ain't going to get 78. He can get 50. So give him 50, Potter. Ve'im la, but if not, if the court assessed him for only one transgression, very fascinating. Like it, they lash him for the 39. Oh, misrapa, then they let him recover for a few weeks. Ve'chayzer ve'loike, and then they go and they lash him again. Which is really very interesting because the Mishnah has not described to us when the Bezin will decide to do it at the same time or separately.
He
hasn't given us any criteria. It's just, if the Bezin vowed to give him lashes for both, then whatever number they come up with, that's it. If they decide to lash him separately, then he gets the full amount for one. They let him rescue it, and then they give him the second one. It's not clear. Why should they, when are they going to do it, decide to give him all in one time? When are they going to decide to give him separately? Like, just make a rule, one way or the other way. We will have to see.
It's never one time, right?
No, he's saying, V'imla, it says, if they were...
So you can only take...
V'imla, and if not, if the court assessed him for only one transgression, Loki gets lashed, and then umisrapet, then he heals, and then v'chos v'loka, then we lash him again.
But if they decide only for one,
no,
they could get only 39, one set of lashes.
No, they just said we're gonna look at him regarding the first Avera, and then we're gonna look at the second Avera later.
Oh, okay.
The question is, why would they do that?
Yeah.
That's how much he can take.
This how much he could take in one time, but do we deal with both lashes at the same time, or do with both lashes separately? So it's saying if they want to deal with both Averas in one time, then they come up, what's the number that will go for both? But if they decide to do them separately, then we look at each one separately. If he could take the full measure, then he recovers. The question is, we're not determining why they decide to do it one time, the whole thing in one time for both, and why would they do it separately? That's another discussion. Okay, well, next week we start the Gemara. We're coming down to the wire. Baruch Hashem.
324, that's it.
It ends 24A, right, at the bottom?
24, yeah.
24A at the bottom. So we just have to do 23. So we got less than two pages.
There's a 24B.
There is? Okay.
What happens?
But not a full 24B.
Okay, sure.
What happens if the health assessment's wrong and
he dies?
Who does someone run into the city of refuge?
Nope.
So it's
already learned that if you're doing it as in the aegis of the Beis Din, you don't have to.
There's a do not go to jail.
Mm-hmm.